I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Name me a better time than this.
Name me a time.
Here's what we have on tap for this hour. We're going to make fun of a bunch of stupid communists. That's always a good time. In a second here, we're going to dig into ISIS attacks on a church, the FBI, other things. We'll get to emails, talk about feminists, young women, young men, the direction they're going. There's so much to get to tonight still on the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here. So there's a story you probably didn't hear about. It just hasn't made a bunch of splashy news, but it's a story. What's the story? There's an 18-year-old. He has pledged allegiance to ISIS, allegedly. All right, I'm going to make sure I preface a lot of this stuff with allegedly. His name's Alexander Mercurio. Mercurio, that's his name. He's 18 years old. Now, the FBI arrested him. The story is that he was planning an attack on churches for the end of Ramadan. You remember back when ISIS was really, really churning and burning about Ramadan season was the time. Everybody had to be extra on their toes. They even had that hilarious shirt they were selling back then. I survived Ramadan 2020. It was one of those things. Yeah, it was out there. So Ramadan's clearly when ISIS gets ramped up. Okay. Well, there's a little bit more to the story. You can see a picture of this guy, this Alexander Mercurio. You can see a picture of him next to an ISIS flag. And that's bad. Where'd he get the flag? A confidential human source, a CHS, an FBI informant, gave him the flag. Okay, well, is he taking a selfie in the picture? Nope. Actually, you can see from the picture, you can actually see both of his hands in the picture. So, who took the picture? A confidential human source with the FBI. Okay. So, how do we learn about this guy and his love of ISIS and his online communications and things like that? Oh, I'm glad you asked. So, the ISIS guy, he apparently had been coordinating online with some account. The owner of this account apparently died. I don't know the details of it. It doesn't matter. So the ISIS guy's talking to an account. The owner of the account dies. The FBI installed a confidential human resource in place of the guy who died to help further coordinate things with the ISIS guy. Now, let's have a talk about law enforcement, terrorism, many other things, because this is an area where it is gray and can be gray and it can be confusing. So let's have a serious chat about this. What exactly are we dealing with here? Are we dealing with a murderous, confused, 18-year-old young man who's dying for a chance to go murder some Christians in church, and the FBI stepped in and found a way to snatch him up before he was able to do that? If that's what we're dealing with here, then I think you and me, we would both agree, okay, well, that's a good thing. This is a dude who was going to commit crimes and he was going to murder people and we got him before him. That would be a good thing, right? But are we dealing with a situation where, yes, a very confused young man, I don't know, lost, maybe even a little violent, I don't know, yelling at people, I don't know, and then confidential human sources within the FBI, obviously coordinated by the FBI, reached out and began to, yes, that's right, Chris, push him over the edge that he was already standing on. Do I need to remind everybody about the Michigan governor kidnapping assassination plot? Most Americans don't know about this because our media is evil, an extremely evil institution, but every American citizen should be mortified. We were leading up to the 2020 election, Joe Biden taking on then sitting President Donald Trump. And you remember, this is really when they begin to ramp up their right-wingers are terrorists. Right-wingers are terrorists. The Republican Party's terrorists. These white people are terrorists. They really began to call you a terrorist. And you always understood why they were calling you a terrorist. I explained it many times. It's so they can use the national security apparatus against you. If you're a terrorist, if you're an enemy of the state, then they can turn their guns on you. They can kill you. They can arrest you. That's what they want. They're communists. So terrorist, terrorist, terrorist. And then we all woke up one day, boom, to this bombshell story out of Michigan. I remember where I was when I read the story. What was the story? Hold on. This group of right-wingers, they had a plan to kidnap and assassinate Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan? Oh, man. Guys, I told you to keep it legal. What are you thinking? That is so bad. We don't want to do things. We don't want to attack and assassinate. Oh, my gosh. And then people started digging into the story. I want to make sure Julie Kelly, my friend Julie Kelly, gets all the credit in the world because her reporting on this has been endless. I wouldn't know a fraction of what I know without Julie Kelly's reporting on the story. But the story behind the story is this. They took some down-on-your-luck guys who just not the sharpest cards out there. One of the main assassins who was plotting to kidnap and assassinate Gretchen Whitmer, one of the main assassins is living in an apartment that he was renting out in the basement of a vacuum repair shop. I'm not making that up. That's a real story. You dig into these guys and you find out these are just idiots and losers. And yeah, angry about some stuff, putting some things online, but these were not assassins or violent felons. And yes, some of them got thrown away for it, but a lot of this case got thrown out because the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they didn't dig into an assassination slash kidnapping plot going on in Michigan. They created an assassination slash kidnapping plot in Michigan. And I mean FBI and their sources. They planned it. They coordinated it. They funded it. In one case, they provided the guy with explosive materials and then arrested him for possessing explosive materials they themselves provided him. I was told something by a national security expert some time ago. I believe I've shared this with you, but it goes along the lines of what I've talked about many times about the most dangerous thing going on in the world today is the national security apparatus of our nation turning its guns inward, turning its guns against you, against its own citizens. And what he told me was this. He said, Jesse, listen, in the wake of 9/11, here's what happened. Everyone has heard of the Patriot Act and that kind of stuff, but here's what it actually looked like. Here's how things changed on the ground. Jesse, after 9/11, we were aware that there were many, 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 many potential Islamic terrorists in America. Guys who'd been posting violent things online, death to America, crush the infidels, all that other crap. We were given the authority by the federal government and we were given the direction to go grab these guys before they take down more towers in more cities. Go get the evidence you need and get these guys locked in a hole before they do something else drastic. And he said, Jesse, and we did. And he said it was good and we loved it and we didn't see the danger in it. And we took all these really bad guys and they were bad guys and we threw them away. And he said, Jesse, now those same tactics and those same guns are being turned against the American right. And he said, it terrifies me because you can see the same sting tactics they were using on the ISIS dorks. They're using them on the right where they're creating the plots, planning the plots, funding the plots, and then rolling out some hapless right winger saying, look at this domestic terrorist. I told you we need to keep these people under surveillance. So this guy, I mean, look, he might be with ISIS. He might be some murderous, useless dirtball. Maybe he is just a horrible person who should be thrown out of a dark cage somewhere. Maybe that's where he should be thrown. Maybe he's a lost, confused kid the FBI entrapped. And I don't know the answer to that. And frankly, you don't know the answer to that. And we won't know the answer to that. But that's the danger in having a Federal Bureau of Investigation that has lost all trust with the American people. Even 5 years ago, if you'd showed me that headline, 18-year-old ISIS guy busted by the FBI, I'd say, yeah, get him, throw that dirtball away. Now I say, ooh, you mean the terrorists at the FBI arrested a different terrorist? Things are changing, and not for the better. All right, we have some audio. You want to make fun of some communists and do some emails? Let's do emails and make fun of communists, because they're stupid. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. All right, let's make fun of some communists here really quickly because it does my heart well. It does me well. Listen, there are things that hearten me, and the stupidity of our mortal enemies is one of those things. There are many advantages to being a communist. All your friends, everyone who's with you in your group, they'll all be pulling in the same direction. You yourself have no moral code, so there's nothing, there are no rules that apply to you. You can do whatever. There are many, many, many advantages of being a communist. But let's all remember something and remember it well. One of the main reasons people become communists is they don't think and don't want to think. They want to be told what to do. Many people want to be slaves. I know that's crazy, but many people genuinely desire someone to just take care of them. Just tell me what to eat, where to go, what to believe about this, where to sleep, what to do. Just you control everything because life is easy that way. Think about how life was when you were a child. If you come from a loving home. I come from a loving home. Think what life was like when you were a 10-year-old boy. What did you do in the morning? You woke up and breakfast. Someone made you breakfast, or at least told you what to eat for breakfast. Probably packed your lunch for you. You knew where you had to go that day, where they told you to go. You're going to go to school. When you got home, you knew what you had to do. Here's a list of chores. When you wanted to play or do something fun, you had to go ask permission. And how simple was life? You may not look back on those times and want to go back. I certainly don't, but life sure was easy, wasn't it? Communism attracts really stupid people. Allow me to play for you Exhibit A.
So that you have the energy of the moon at night, and sometimes you've heard the word full moon, and sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? The gas is such that we could do that. The sun is a mighty powerful heat.
I'm sorry. I got to play it again. I'll stop. I'm going to mute it when I laugh this time. I'm sorry. That's a member of Congress. Her name is Sheila Jackson Lee. She's a congresswoman from down here in Houston. She just ran for mayor. She almost won. She just ran for mayor. I just want to make sure I remind you that this is a human being who votes on where your taxpayer dollars go. This is a human being who would have a vote on declaration of war. If World War III broke out tomorrow, Sheila Jackson Lee would weigh all the facts on whether or not she should vote that way. This is a human being in a position of extreme power. Now, knowing that, here she is again.
So that you have the energy of the moon at night, and sometimes you've heard the word full moon, and sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? The gas is such that we could do that.
How do we? Hey, listen. There's this moon and it's full of gas. But and I know we want to live on it. I don't know how we're going to do that when it's all gas, but I don't. She's a member of Congress. Oh, this isn't the only one. This isn't the only Sheila Jackson Lee comment, by the way. Chris, this one's probably my favorite. Play for me the Sheila Jackson Lee ones.
I've held an AR-15 in my hand. I wish I had it. It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving. And the bullet that is utilized, a 50 caliber, these kinds of bullets, need to be licensed and do not need to be on the streets.
Stuff, an AR-15. It says, how heavy is it? It's as heavy as 10 boxes. Well, Sheila, I don't understand what that means. Is a box some kind of a unit of measurement now? How big were the boxes, Sheila? What was in the boxes? Like that, it doesn't make any sense. But it's as heavy as 10 boxes, and it shoots a 50 caliber. Man, I got to go to the guy who sold me my AR and have a little chat with him. I've been loading 5.56 in that bad boy. I had no idea it should be shooting 50 cal. I've been cheating myself. These people are members of Congress. I swear, I can't do it. That lines up perfectly with the Sonny Hostin arguments from yesterday. These friggin' earthquakes, it's climate change.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
Also, I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in like 100 years. This is what I read.
Two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe you know better.
In a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists, or something is really returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
Even Joy Behar's like, well, hold on. Earthquakes, that doesn't make any sense. They're underground. I don't understand. Put a smile on your face. We really do take on the dumbest people. All right. We're going to get to emails. We'll make fun of feminists. We have some other things we're going to get to. We're also going to talk about you and your $25 and where's the best place to spend it. Because right now you're sitting on $25. And I know what you're thinking. And I don't blame you for thinking this. Hey, I could go get a couple Meat Lovers pizzas right now for $25. And I wouldn't blame you if you did that. But hear me out. A Meat Lovers pizza. How long do you actually get to enjoy it? Well, you'll get to smell it. Okay, so that's a couple minutes. You get to eat it. That's 10, 15 minutes if we're being generous. Let's say the next day it gives you a bowel movement you enjoy. That's another 5, 10 minutes. Maybe, max. But that's a half hour max of enjoyment out of your Meat Lover's pizza. My Pillow sandals, they can provide years of pleasure and enjoyment. Do you realize that? They're on sale for $25. Set aside your Meat Lover's pizza. Set aside your bowel movement and focus on My Pillow sandals. $25 extravaganza sale. Two packs of multi-use My Pillows, $25. Six-piece towel sets, $25. Your $25 shouldn't be wasted on the Meat Lover's pizza. It should be spent at My Pillow on things that last. MyPillow.com, Radio Lister Special Square, promo code Jesse. Go now.
Truth, attitude, Jesse Kelly.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. And yes, we did just come back with the same song we just left because Chris and me were discussing something during the break. Yet another song that's so sick as it begins, right? Ozzy's there and they're shredding and he's singing and he's got that cool voice. And yeah. And then song falls off pretty hard, doesn't it? When does it fall off pretty hard? When it's guitar riff time. Hey, let's just forget the entire song we wrote. Let me just sit on the the stage because I'm on heroin. And let me just play this guitar or do whatever I want to for like 20 minutes. Why? You were doing a great song. Wrap it up in 3 minutes. Let's go. The song was good. The long song. The death of music. The long song. Don't shake your head, Michael. It's true. No one wants to hear these people riff. Go do heroin on your own time. Play guitar on my time. Let's get to some emails. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If that confuses you real quick, let me lay it out for you as clear as I can.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
A winner. Last week, the Oracle mentioned he does not like American songs about pickup trucks, cowgirls, beer, and freedom. Pause. That's not what I said. I said that I like virtually all genres. I feel so fancy when I say that word, Chris. I like all genres of music, for the most part. Not a big R&B person. I even like old school country music. Modern country is unlistenable. Unlistenable. And it's so forced. And it's, oh, I'm going to get my pickup truck and we'll drink some beer in the fields. And it's really, really bad. I can't stay. It's as bad as my wife's playlist. And you know how bad women's taste in music is. Modern country belongs on women's playlists. That may be the biggest insult I can level at modern country. Jesse, after reading the Anti-Communist Manifesto, I learned the LGBTQ communists hate beautiful cowgirls, beer, pickup trucks, and freedom. Is Jesse Kelly an actual deep cover communist? Seriously, though, ask your sons to throw on some Toby Keith, Morgan Wallen, Jason Aldean sometime. I love the show. Well, I love me some Toby Keith. Again, older country's fine. Older country's fine. It's, man, I sound like my dad now. Jesse, you were talking about your stance on abortion. I was wondering what your stance would be if your mother, or if the mother, was guaranteed to die during labor. What, you save the life of the mother. It's a pro-life position. It's not pro-baby. It's pro-life. I don't know anyone who supports, well, just let mom die. No one. I don't know anybody who has that stance at all. But other than that, it's pro-life. Always, without exceptions. The baby is to be protected. They cannot protect themselves, protect the baby. Oh, Chris, before I go on to other emails, do you have that Jasmine Crockett sound? So Jasmine Crockett is somebody we've been ignoring. One of these younger members of Congress, she looks like she's about 20. I don't know how old this woman is, but a total moron. Either way, it does occur to me every time I hear these people speak, every time I hear Schumer speak, every time I hear Sheila Jackson Lee speak, Pelosi speak, Jasmine Crockett speak, these people, the most painful thing is they're an accurate reflection of us as a nation. Jasmine Crockett is an accurate reflection of the people who elected her. Listen to this idiot.
Just this past week, I saw, I don't remember which celebrity, but it was actually a celebrity, and I was like, I don't know that that's not necessarily a bad idea, but I'd have to think through it a lot. One of the things that they propose is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time, because then again, that puts money back in your pocket. But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people about actually giving out dollars. Yeah. But obviously, then you start dealing with the different tax brackets and things like that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we argue the reparations make sense, because so many Black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things, right? But the fact is, like, we end up being so far behind, right? And so it's like, how do you bring forth
people? You know, we love to say, get these people out of Congress. Who are these people? Again, the most bitter pill to swallow is these people are an accurate reflection of us. And it's not, look, it's not just the dirty commies. It applies to the GOP. This is Mike Turner out of Ohio. Mike Turner's district in Ohio, they could have someone who sounds just like you, who thinks like you. This is his district.
Quote, I think Russian propaganda has made its way into the United States, unfortunately, and it's infected a good chunk of my party's base. He singled out primetime shows on conservative channels. Do you agree with him? And how big is this problem?
Oh, it is absolutely true. We see directly coming from Russia attempts to mask communications that are anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia messages, some of which we even hear being uttered on the House floor. I mean, there are members of Congress today who still incorrectly say that this conflict between Russia and Ukraine is over NATO, which, of course, it is not. Now, to the extent that this propaganda takes hold, it makes it more difficult for us to really see this as an authoritarian versus democracy battle, which is what it is. We need to stand up for democracy. We need to make certain that we know that authoritarian regimes never stop when they start an aggression. Ukraine needs our help and assistance now, and this is a very critical time for the U.S. Congress to step up and provide that aid.
40%. Your grocery bill went up 40%. Red District, Ohio, sends that loser back to Congress every time. Yeah. All right. And I did want to play this. There's a wonderful investigative journalist for The War Room. I've had her on my TV show a bunch. I actually need to get her on my radio show. Her name's Natalie Winters. A young lady, definitely in her 20s. I don't know how old anyone is, and it's kind of weird to ask, so I just never ask. But it's got to be in her 20s, I would guess. Maybe young 20s, whatever. But sharp as a whip, sharp as a whip. And she goes on this podcast called The Whatever Podcast. I don't know what this podcast is, other than I oftentimes see a bunch of young ladies on there. It looks like ladies in their 20s. That's what it looks like. Young women on there. And Natalie Winters went on there and begins to have this discussion with these young women who believe they're feminists and feminism and whatnot. And you know how we talk about communists as if they're robots and that's how you need to think about them? That's why they have no depth of knowledge. They can't argue any points. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, she'll yell at you or change the subject or just move on because she's a robot. She doesn't think about anything and doesn't want to. She wants to be told what to think. Listen to this. It'll be very obvious which of the voices you hear are Natalie's and which ones are the other girls. And man, when I described them as robots, wow.
Well, for me, I think feminism is just about us all having like the same amount of rights. And
what rights do women
just
not have
in
that
general,
men have?
I mean, just
no, hold on a second. Right there. I think feminism's about us having the same rights as men. Natalie chimes in. What rights do women not have that men have? All right, that was a very simple question. You obviously have that belief. What rights?
I mean,
like, where do you think there's inequality in society between men and women?
Well, I just mean like
women in sports.
Because all the gender men are coming in. Fair
that
point
is
there.
A hot topic.
Well, just like, I
what
mean,
do you
like,
mean?
Women in sports in general, I think,
because
get paid less because there's less viewers for.
Well, that's why they
sports.
Get paid less, because well, there's less viewers.
Right, but we also. Okay. I'm just saying.
No, hold on. You saw. Very simple, very calm. Just destroyed your argument. Well, women get paid less in sports. Yeah, because there's less viewers. Well, yeah, okay. It just moves right. Again, the robot. No depth of knowledge.
My definition of it is really broad.
I agree with her.
And if someone didn't think...
Okay, wait, but back... So okay. No one can give an example of where women don't have the same rights as men, but that's why you think we should... Or that's why you wouldn't date a man who doesn't identify as a feminist, but you can't give one example of where women and men aren't equal, except for women getting paid less in sports.
Robots. That's what we're dealing with. Robots. Remember that when you try to outreach, right? It's not that you should never outreach, but liberal Aunt Peggy wants to be that dumb. All right, one more segment. Headlines I didn't get to. Some emails. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. You can email us love, hate, death threats, whatever you want. Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Go download the podcast of the show if you missed it. Watch me on TV tonight, like every night on The First TV, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Let's do something else before we get to a couple emails and some headlines I didn't get to. Stephen Colbert. We had this talk a few years ago, so you probably don't remember, but who is he? Well, he's a comedian, allegedly, but he's not very funny. He was one of those guys, he played second fiddle to, it was Jon Stewart's show, wasn't it? It was second fiddle to Jon Stewart, kind of like had a sidekick role on Jon Stewart's show. And like many, many, many things in life, like many people in life, he wasn't made to be the guy. He was made to be the side character. You know, oftentimes the assistant coach should be and remain an assistant coach. Not necessarily just because he's a great assistant doesn't mean he should be the head coach. If you're doing a television show, a comedy program, a news program, whatever it may be, being one of the backup characters, one of the sideline characters versus being the guy, two very, very, very different things. You see this all the time, actually, in radio or on TV, as a matter of fact. You'll take someone who is a great writer or a great guest on a show, and then you say, here you go, there's an hour, go do a TV show. And they suck. Just can't do it. It's a different thing. I have to do it every day. Not saying it's better. It's just a different skill set. Stephen Colbert can't do a late night show by himself. Jon Stewart left. Colbert got one of the late night comedy gigs. Now, you should know something about these gigs. If you're a comedian, if you're anybody who does stand-up in the United States of America, maybe you're well-known. We have some of those who listen to the show. Maybe you just got to do improv night on every third Thursday of the month, getting up there, test a couple jokes out, have some fun with it. But anybody who does stand-up comedy knows this. The jobs, the late-night jobs, you know, the old Letterman Leno spots, those are the most coveted jobs. For two different reasons. This is wild about how the performance industry goes, but it is true. If you get those jobs, you take over for David Letterman. That's what Colbert did. He took over for David Letterman. You will make an obscene amount of money for a ridiculously low amount of work. They don't film those things in the middle of the night, by the way. So don't think, well, he's got to stay up till midnight. They're all filmed during the day, oftentimes multiple shows in one day. They film them in New York or L.A., and then they push them right out the door. You go work 2-3 days a week. We'll knock out, probably a 15, 20-hour work week and make, this is a guess, I bet you I'm not far off, $10 million a year, $10, $15 million a year. You make professional athlete money. You don't hardly work. And you have writers. It's if you're someone who does stand-up comedy, it's the dream phone call. Hey, we want you to come take over the late-night show. Well, you're Stephen Colbert. You take over the late-night show. Okay, you just struck gold. You just hit the Powerball. But the problem is you're not funny. Stephen Colbert, to his credit, found a workaround. He may not be funny or entertaining, but he is most willing to humiliate himself on behalf of the system. Remember when he did the vaccine song? Din, 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 din. Vaccines! It was one of the most cringeworthy things. Even pro-vaccine people were all, oh man, that's embarrassing. It was really bad. He does this all the time. Here he was sitting down with AOC. Just, this is a man who knows he has to update his system membership card every single day if he wants to stay in that chair.
I mean, even let's just rewind a second. We just went through an impeachment attempt on the president of the United States that was started with a source that Republicans used that was in communication with Russian intelligence. So you have not just the bottom bench here. You have the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Representative Comer, take quote-unquote evidence, an account from someone who was working with the Russian intelligence and tried to impeach and remove the president of the United States over it. This is serious.
How did they not know
that, or did they know that this was connected to the Russians? Or did they not figure that out because they hadn't translated from the Cyrillic?
That, I think, is
We got it. You want to talk about a man who understands exactly why he's there? To his credit, Colbert gets it. I ain't making anyone laugh. I've got to be a really, really, really good boy. You need energy. I need energy. And we shouldn't be going to caffeine for that all the time. Now, should we? There's nothing wrong with a cup of Joe or two. We should be focusing on getting our T levels up, gentlemen. Ladies, your levels of various kinds are low too. But what do you do? How do you do that? I know there's a new clinic on every corner. Hey, just come. Let us put a shot in your arm. You'll feel better. Do you think regular shots, do you think that's a good idea? Or do you think you should handle these things naturally? You want to feel better at 3-4 in the afternoon instead of feeling like you're ready to crawl into bed? Start a stack from chalk, whether it's a male stack or a female stack. Start a stack from chalk. For the male stack is chalk daily, Tongkat 100, and ashwagandha. That's the three things in the male stack. Man, how much better you're about to feel. Get a subscription. You should save a bunch of money on the subscriptions. Don't pay full price. Look, if you don't like it after 90 days, quit. Call and cancel it. But don't pay full price for 90 days. Get a subscription. The sale is for the lifetime of the subscription, too. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse is how you get it. Go. Get one.
And now.
Here's a headline.
Go. You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Study. 1 in 3 Zoomers have no income and a poor economic outlook. That's really, really, really bad. And maybe we as parents, myself included, need to be better about making sure our kids have some skills to make it in this world. Because, man, they're drowning out here. North Face faces heat over sponsorship of overnight LGBT camp where kids perform in drag and explore sexuality. That's from The Blaze. I also have this one, courtesy of Michael and Chris. They talk about white privilege. They actually have a public page talking about white privilege and gender and wealth gap and citizenship. And, man, you really need to never, ever, ever buy anything from North Face ever again. Lori Lightfoot hired to investigate America's worst mayor. That's that Tiffany Haynard girl, the one who's just embezzling all the taxpayer funds and she's making rap music videos and things like that. I gotta be honest, this lady is so corrupt and bad that I've made the transition where now I'm rooting for her. Go, Tiffany! Don't let them get you down! Culinary diplomacy. The internet is obsessed with what Janet Yellen eats in China. No one's obsessed with it, although I bet you can get some dynamite egg rolls in China. It just sucks because the Communist Chinese Party, they hate me so bad, I'll probably be killed if I ever visit China, so I can't visit and go check out the history. Plus, I don't want to spend my money with those dirty commies anyway, but the egg rolls, you know the street food. And what, Chris? You know it's fantastic. I bet their street food's amazing. No, Japan's different, Chris. They're different cultures. For your information, they're not all the same, Chris. Anyway, we're out of time. That's all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And, of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.